Please be seated. And I love you, church. Love is the language from the throne of grace, right from the beginning of time. That's why God sent Jesus Christ. Right? Am I right? Love is the language of God from the throne of grace. It's a language in heaven, I'm sure. Thank you for having me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you gather us together for your very purpose of receiving revelation and the wisdom of God for our lives. We commit this time into your hands. We ask Holy Spirit, Spirit of wisdom and revelation, to speak to us individually and corporately. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Sometime beginning of this year, a patient told me that he actually looked for me. We didn't know each other. He was new in the hospital. He was not a Christian. He said he got something to tell me that he can't figure out what is going on. On the night before, he said the patient in front of him was crying. And he said, suddenly I saw the hands of God covering everyone in the hospital. And I felt the compassion of God. And he said, I saw 6 or 8 or even more nurses come to comfort that patient. And he said he felt that he was not worthy. He left the place, he went to the chapel next door, and he sat there for an hour. He said, that has changed my whole life. Non-believers. We don't have 6 and 8 patients or more, and we don't have 6 and 8 nurses or more at night. We don't even have 6 and 8 nurses for one patient in the day. He must have seen angels. But he said, I said, did you see hands? He said, no. He saw in his spirit the hands of God, he described it, upon everyone in the hospital. And he said, I'm not worthy. I walked away. But for believers like us as Christians, we are worthy because of the blood of the Lamb of God on the throne of grace for you and for me. We are worthy in the presence of God. Am I right? God has made us worthy. For a non-believer, because he did not know the blood of the Lamb on the mercy seat of the throne of God, he thought, I'm not worthy. And he went to sit in the chapel for an hour. Non-believers. He said, it has changed my whole life. But other patients I spoke to did not experience this. There is a presence of God that God is everywhere, but there's also a presence of God that manifests through his power. And some, for specific purpose, God speaks to them. Right? But some miss it. But doesn't mean the presence of God is not with you. I have a Jewish friend of mine who was very against Christian, who actually, whenever you mention about Christ, he would spit. Every time. And one day in the synagogue here in Melbourne, during the Passover, she was in the synagogue sitting with her sister in the service, and she saw the cross and she heard a voice, the Lamb that the synagogue talk about is the Lamb of God, that is Christ, and she started to cry and she came to the Lord. She asked her sister, "Did you hear that? Did you see that? Nobody has heard, nobody has seen." But manifestation, there's a presence of God, but there's also a manifestation of the presence of God, where there is always a revelation. All right, I'm going to go straight to the message, and AJ is to keep the time for me. All right? In the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 4 to 7, and 2 Samuel chapter 6, you will see the presence of God. But the presence of God, different people, different group of people interpreted it differently. I'm going to go quickly because we have a time issue. Which one is this one? Okay. I don't even switch on. All right. It's technology, you know. Okay. The children of Israel, and the Philistines having a battle here. Okay? And the children of Israel, lost 4,000 of people. They were killed. Philistine was winning in the battle. And Philistine, and the children of Israel quickly went to Shiloh, where the Ark of the of God is, where the Ark of the Covenant is, or was. Took the Ark of Covenant, quickly rushed back to this place, and they started the battle again. Now, even with the Ark of Covenant, the children of Israel, 30 more thousand were killed. And the Ark of the Covenant was captured by the Philistines. How to interpret that? Then the book, this Philistine brought the Ark of Covenant all the way to this place, right? Ashdod, stop number two. And from here, a lot of people here fell sick, started to develop tumors or hemorrhoids. And many people died. So these people didn't want the Ark of the Covenant. Quickly passed it to station three. And station three, same thing happened. Quickly passed it to station four. And station four said, okay, we got to stop here. Because there are too many people who have died, too many people who have hemorrhoids or tumors. So they consulted their mediums and asked the medium, how do you interpret this situation? The medium said, okay, you have offended the gods. They do not know there's only one God, the gods of Israel. He said, you have offended him, so now what you should do is to give him an offering. Right? Make a cart with two cows on it, put the Ark of the Covenant on top of the and let the cow, these two cows, bring it from here to here. But don't touch the cows. Let the cows move. If the cow will be able to move from here to cross over to the land of Israel, right, by themselves, that means the God of Israel was against us. If the cow did not go to this place, where in the land of Israel, that means the things that happen to us is by chance. We are just unlucky. Okay? But the cows actually landed here. So the children of Israel saw that the Ark of the Covenant has returned to them. Right? Because when they lost the Ark of the Covenant here, they said the glory of Israel has left Israel. The glory of God has left Israel because the Ark of the Covenant was captured by the enemies. Right? They said we are lost. Then when the children of Israel saw the Ark of the Covenant return to their territory, they were very excited. So they took down the cow, they sacrificed the cow, right? They sacrificed the cow, but a group of people went to peep or look into the Ark of the Covenant and well, they fell dead straight away on the spot. What happened? So these children of Israel now saying that, okay, this ark cannot be in our town. It has to be transferred to somewhere else because we don't want the Ark of the Covenant. We've got to transfer to here. When they transferred to here, and King David realized it, King David said, okay, I want to take the Ark of the Covenant to the city of David. Okay? So King David came to take the Ark of the Covenant. But when the Ark of Covenant was moving, one of these guys, the cow stumbled, one of these guys touched the Ark of Covenant, and he too was struck dead. How do you explain that? What happened? In the enemy's territory, people died. In the territory of the Lord, people died because of the presence of God. Now, when we have something that happened to our lives, we put the blame of God all the time. Yes? It must be God that strike me. So this is what happened. When they took, this was what happened. When they took this Ark of Covenant from this place, in this place, the Ark of Covenant has been there for a long time because of the high priest called Eli. Right? So Eli have two sons, and the two sons, together with Eli, sins against God. Right? He sins against God, and that's what happened. It is not God strike the person dead. It's our sin that lead us fall short of the glory of God, that we couldn't attain the glory of God. Right? God is for us. God is not against us. It's the fault of the human who falls short of the glory of God that we miss the mark. So what happened here? So what happened to this when the first time the Ark of the Covenant reached station four, right? And they bring this Ark on a man-made structure and put on the animals to carry it. Some people died. Somebody died. Because they peek into the Ark of the Covenant. Yes? Right? And the second time, this man died because this was King David's idea. The same thing happened. This ark was put on the cart. Man made structure. Right? Man made. And this person touched it, strike dead. Why? This is the second, I'll explain why later on. This is the second attempt that King David did. Now, King David, now, he knew it. He consulted the high priest. And the high priest said, the Ark of the Covenant cannot be carried by hand-made structure. It has to be carried by the priest. Okay? Now, this gives us the prophecy of the church today. A church must have the presence of God, must have the body of God. Yes? A church cannot be carried by a man-made structure. This was carried by a man-made structure. Even King David carried by a man-made structure, and he was struck dead. Because a church must have the head, as Jesus Christ is the high, as the head of the church, he must have the body of human flesh. Because the blood of the Lamb flows from the head to the body. Now that gives us a lesson. That gives us a lesson on man-made structure. We still have the presence of God, but the presence of God was carried by a man-made structure. And they have people worshiping it. When King David did it, he had people carrying instruments, jumping around, worshiping God. And yet the person who touched the ark was struck dead. We still have the man-made structure that holds the presence of God today, but you are not connected to it. You know what is that? There's a media. We can attend sermons at 24 hours a day through your television screen. But you are not part of the body. The body of Christ is human flesh and human blood. It's not digital flesh, a digital being. I'm not talking about young generation. Now we have people who come and say, I don't have to come to church because I can watch Benny Hinn, I can watch Joe Austin, I can watch AJ on TV. I don't have to come to church. Do they get revelation? Yes. Will they go? Yes. But they are not connected. They are not connected to the body that God wants. So that part of his growth, or the person who watched television and not thinking that I don't have to come to church, I can watch television 24 hours a day on Christian messages, they can grow, but that part of the growth will be dead because they are not connected to the body. There are doctors here, if I tie this finger and no blood flow through, this finger will die one day. Am I right? You will die. So this is the picture of we have the body of Christ, we have people worshiping it, but you are not connected to it because of man-made structure. Samsung. Yes. But you are not connected to it. Yes, the presence of God was there, but you are not connected to it. Now you say, what is the purpose of coming to church? The very purpose of coming to church is you are part of the body of Christ that God has chosen you to be. It's not because you have something to give or because you have nothing to give. It's not about you giving. It's God. It's about God wants his blood to flow through your vein individually and corporately. Right? We all have a functions, whether you notice it or not, don't notice it, right? In the Bible, we have fivefold ministry. Yes? Apostle, very good, apostle. The prophet points the direction, yes? Yes, the prophet always points the direction where you should go. We have the longest finger, the evangelist, they travel the longest distance to preach the gospel. Yes? All right, it's the wages of sin that caused death. God is for us. God is not God that struck us dead. But it was all interpreted wrongly. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God wants to give life, but the people thought that it is the presence of God that killed them, so they rejected the presence of God. You went the Ark of the Covenant went to Israel. Israel rejected. Went to Philistine. Philistine rejected. People rejected God because they said, "God killed me." It's not God killing you. It's just the presence of God. You fall short of the glory of God because of your sin. Now this is what God did. When this person called Uzzah, who touched the ark, when the cow stumbled, the oxen stumbled, he touched the ark, he was struck dead because of the wages of sin. Because he was not a priest. He was not sanctified. Right? And then Bible says that place, King David called that place the bridge upon Uzzah, or the bridge of Uzzah, which means that there is a gap between Uzzah and the presence of God. And Jesus Christ, in Isaiah 58, verse 12 says, Jesus Christ is the repairer of the bridge. Jesus Christ standing between the sinful man and the holy God and said, I die on the cross for you. I forgive your sin. I reconcile you to God. So without Jesus Christ in between us, we fall short of the glory of God. We die. Right? Still have a lot of time, right? Okay. Now, what is the Ark of the Covenant? The Ark of the Covenant is also called the Ark of Testimony, or the Ark of the God of Israel, or the Ark of the Glory of God, or the Ark of Shittim wood. But it's all the same thing. Ark of the Covenant. Jesus Christ is both the Ark and the Covenant. When we talk about Ark, remember the Noah's Ark? It's about saving somebody. Yes, saving life. We have this Ark, they also call Ark when Moses was born. They put it on this little Ark and let it flow down the Nile River. Right? They're also about saving somebody, preserving life. So this Ark of Covenant is about preserving life. Now, on this inside here is inside there is wood, is acacia wood. Acacia tree actually grow from very dry ground, but they are very tough. Sometimes they describe it as incorruptible, which speaks about Jesus Christ as the Son of Man, but not corrupted. Okay? Now, this is a wood. Overlaying the wood inside and outside this whole thing are gold, which speaks about Jesus Christ as a royal or from a royal family, and also about his deity as God, divinity as God. Okay? Now, these two, the cherubim, some people say they are angels, but actually they are not angels. I tell you why. Because this whole thing is made by one piece of gold, which talks about unity. An angel is not part of the Trinity. So talk about Trinity. Angel is not part of the Trinity of God. Right? Only one of them will represent God the Father, God the Son, and the mercy seat is actually God the Son, Jesus Christ. He is the mercy seat. So in the Old Testament, this whole thing, this ark will be inside the Holy of Holies, right? And the high priest once a year will come in and put the blood of the animal on the mercy seat, right, to ask forgiveness of the sins of the nation of Israel, right? So from here, God speaks to the high priest, God speaks to Moses, God speaks through this high priest to the children of Israel. God spoke through the mercy seat, right? But in the Old Testament, there were sacrifices of the animals. So animal blood was on here. But in the New Testament, the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ himself, is shed on the here, on the mercy seat. Okay? Now, because of the Lamb of God, the Lamb of Jesus on this place, the whole ark has been changed. The Ark of the Covenant is actually the throne of God on earth when they carry it in the Old Testament, right? But when the blood of Jesus was shed on here in the New Testament, the throne of judgment became the throne of grace. That is where you and I go in through prayer every day. We are going in through prayer into the throne of grace of God, not into the throne of judgment. That's why when we take communion, Jesus said, remember me, remember him on the throne of grace, not on the throne of judgment. Don't judge yourself. Don't discriminate others. Don't judge others. Don't judge yourself. Don't condemn yourself, because God doesn't condemn you. Your background will not condemn you. You are who you are. God has created. What your father has done cannot condemn you. God doesn't condemn you because of the blood of the Lamb of God on the mercy seat. Okay? So this whole piece is God the Father, Son, God the Son, Holy Spirit, and God the Son. Okay? The Trinity. One piece of gold. And here is the crown. It talks about Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Okay? So inside here in the box, outside is gold, inside is gold also, in between is wood, right? Now, this combination also speaks of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The outside gold usually speaks of God the Father. The wood speaks of God the Son, when he came as the Son of Man, right? Creation. And inside gold is speaking of the Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit is always dwelling inside us. Okay? So the whole structure speaks of God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. and all glorify the Son of God who shed the blood of the Lamb of God in the mercy seat. Okay? And this cannot be touched by any human, any creation other than human beings who carry, the high priest carry this hand, here and here. The people with the flesh and blood, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God, you and me. Okay? We have Christ in us today, right? The Ark of the Covenant is, so to speak, inside us. Yes? Because this speaks about the whole thing speaks of the fullness of Christ. Carry on. Now, inside here, there are three things that was asked, God asked them to put inside. The first one is golden pot of manna. Second one is Aaron's rod that budded. And the third one is the tables of covenant. Okay, the golden pot of manna. The children of Israel complained to God that they don't have food to eat when they're in the wilderness. Yes? God sent manna from heaven. I want you to see the grace of God. They complained that they don't have roti to eat, or noodle, or rice, or steak. They complained they didn't have food to eat. And God sent manna. What is manna? Manna speaks of the bread of life. Yes? When manna speaks of the bread of life, it speaks of Jesus Christ. When it speaks of Jesus Christ, it speaks of the provider. You ask for food, God sends you the provider. God sends you the whole heavenly store of provision to you when you ask for food. That is the grace of God. This one, the manna points to the new covenant. The first coming of Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, the Aaron's rod that budded, again, the children of Israel complained. See, this is how much grace God has for us. The people complained. Instead of God judging them, God actually sent, he complained about food, God sent a whole store of heaven to them, plus the provider. Now they complain about Aaron. Aaron was a high priest. The children of Israel complained about Aaron. They say he shouldn't be the high priest. Why could he be the only one who can hear from God? How could he be the only one who can perform miracles? How about us? We can do it also. But Aaron was appointed by God. He has a calling in his life. Right? Sometimes we challenge our senior pastor. So how can he be a senior pastor? I can be a senior pastor. Right? Because I know AJ. So the children of Israel complain about the calling of God. Now God says, okay, I will show it to you who has the calling of God. And he told Moses to ask the children of Israel, cut 13 branches, the almond tree. 13 branches from almond tree. Cut off all the leaves, right? One branch for every tribe of Israel, 12 tribes. But the other one for Aaron, who is the high priest. And he said, tomorrow I will show you which one is appointed by God. Aaron's rod, which is cut off a dead branch from the almond tree, began to have buds and budded and flower and fruit. The rest, just dry branches. What does that mean? This bud here speaks of the source, God the Father. The flowers speaks of Jesus Christ, the fragrance of God. The fruit of almond speaks of the Holy Spirit, the fruitfulness, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He's still talking about the fullness of Christ. Okay? Now, the table of covenant. Table of covenant also, again, is because of the complaint from the children of Israel. The children of Israel told Moses, let God speak to you and don't speak to me. I don't want it. I don't want to face God directly. God speak to Moses, then God, Moses, you come and speak to me. They rejected God. Out of this, God gave them the tablets, the commandments. Right? So they obey through the commandments. So they don't have direct dealing with God. They don't want a relationship with God. All I want is blessing from God. Right? And they were very arrogant. They said, whatever God asked me to do, I can do it. That's why God gave them the law, but they can't perform. Right? So the tablet speaks of Jesus Christ, the lawgiver, the ruler, the king. Right? But because they asked for the law, they actually God sent Jesus Christ to fulfill the law because they cannot fulfill it. You see, out of complaint, God did not judge them. Out of complaint, God actually, by grace, gives them somebody to fulfill the law that they cannot fulfill. That is the grace of God that points to the throne of grace in the New Testament. Are you with me? So the whole thing here speaks of the fullness of Jesus Christ, the presence of God in Christ. Right from the Old Testament coming to the New Testament. It actually points to the New Testament that will be fulfilled by the first coming of Jesus Christ. Okay? You okay? You all look very holy. You okay, yeah? Move on, eh? Now, this is the body of Christ. This is when, in the Old Testament, God already said, this body, the presence of God has to be carried by the priest. We are the kings and the priests, that's what the Bible says. It has to be carried by people who have believed Jesus Christ. Because when you believe Jesus Christ, see, God is a God of relationship, right? If you want to believe Jesus Christ, it's just that I want to believe my wife, I have to have a relationship with her, right? She will have to invite me, right? She will have to invite me, she will have to buy me dinner. Then we have a relationship, right? And then we have a relationship. Or else we'll be at a distance. Same thing, God has a relationship. Love is a relationship word. It's an action word and also a relationship word. Love has to action. God loved us and He sacrificed His Son so that we can receive His Son into our hearts. It's a relationship. It's not a digital. It's not God with a digital body. God with a human body. Right? Right? And so from the Old Testament, God has already in His plan, this is going to be the church. That's why the church in the Old Testament is also called the church in the wilderness. Because they carry the presence of God on the shoulder of the priest. Now, we don't have to carry God on our shoulder. He carries us. He dwells within us. That's the grace of God. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 20 says, for just as the body is one and has many members, so all members of the body, though many, are one body. We are of one body, so it is with Christ. So God describes the church right from the beginning, that is His plan, that we have His presence and His body, the people. Right? Now, if all were a single member, where would the body be? If a single member is a person who sits at home and watch TV on Christian channels, but never contact with the rest of the body. Where is the body? He said you missed that part. There is a purpose of coming to church. You may think that you are not worthy or you are not contributing or you are not important, so I shouldn't come, nobody will know. No, your purpose of coming to church is to fulfill the purpose of God. Yeah. Regardless whether you think you have gifting or no giftings, regarding whether you are important or not important. Because that is the purpose of God, to be part of the church, part of the local church. Right? That is the purpose. It's not because, no, I can get message on internet. I can get message on the church. What's the problem? What's the big deal? Right? On internet is better still. I don't have to listen to Victor Siong. I can listen to AJ. You know? It's not about that. That part of your growth, maturity can grow. You still get the knowledge of God. There are people who are healed in front of television. You still get it. But you are not part of the purpose of God for the corporate body of Christ. That is where His blood flows from head to every part of the body. And you miss that part. One day the finger will dry. One day all you talk about is the head of the church, but you don't have the experience of the body. All you talk about body is about the corporate structure of the church. Nothing to do with relationship with the rest. It is not the corporate structure of the church that holds a church. It is the Holy Spirit that holds a church. It is not the car that holds the presence of God. It's the body that holds together with the presence of God to form Christ and the body. Right? So if you have friends or uncle, auntie, children, tell you they want to watch TV on Sunday and no need to come to church, tell them it is right, but you missed out on the body. That is the purpose. You missed out one big purpose of God for you, is to be part of the body. Okay? So there are many parts, but one body. Okay? I'm still on time, right? Now we come to the New Testament, where Jesus Christ first came. First, in Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 to 20, he said, "For in him, in Jesus Christ, all the fullness of Christ was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." That's how God brings us together as a body. Don't miss the blood of the Lamb of God to be a part of the body of Christ. Okay? In flesh and blood. "And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." Reconcile means to bring back to the former state of harmony. Peace means to make harmony. Now, when God, before even God created us, he said in the book of Ephesians, he said, "I have blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, even before the foundation of the world." So we all come to this world with a blessing already pronounced on you by God. That cannot be removed. But it can only be missed out if you don't get connected with the body, with Christ. Right? It's like there are lights all over the place for you. But if you don't switch on, there's no light. And you're all the time in the darkness. But it is so easy, just go on the corner and switch on because the plug that connected with the electricity and the light come. Right? So you can live your whole life in darkness and miss every spiritual blessing God has for you. Because you are not connected with the light. Jesus Christ, "I am the light." You're not connected with the life. Jesus Christ, "I am the life." You're not connected with the love of God. He said, "I am the love." You're not connected with the grace of God. He said, "I'm the grace of God personified." We missed out. Yeah. But we are all have a blessing from God. Don't miss that out, because God has already blessed you, asking you to come back and receive him. That's all. It's not about religion. It's about your life. Whether you want to be connected with God and get every spiritual blessing that God has pronounced on me, I want it. And for your children. Okay? Now, as I said, we are not carrying the presence of God on our shoulder. God now dwells inside us. Yes? He carries us. Right? Because he will not give us a burden that we cannot carry. Right? And he says here, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple for the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God?" Our body becomes the temple for the Holy Spirit. It's such a miraculous thing. It's such a miraculous act. No science can explain it. No medical science can explain it. No politician can explain it. No philosophy can explain it. The living God, the one who created the universe, now lives inside me. That is only made possible when I have reconciled with God. There is the repairer of the bridge. At the bridge. Right? Jesus Christ, who stands between God and me. Right? His blood on the mercy seat, changing the throne of judgment to the throne of grace. Then I'm accepted by God. I become the temple for the Holy Spirit. You are all accepted by God. Don't think that God doesn't accept you. Don't think that God is not going to answer your prayer. Don't think that God has condemned you. That is not the way to interpret the presence of God. Because God is for us. Okay? And just now we saw the worship of God, right? First attempt when King David carried the ark, right? He wanted to carry the ark of the covenant, right? He did not consult the high priest. He used the cart again, remember? The second cart. He used the cart, right? Without the high priest, without the priest carrying him, right? And second time he realized it. He said, no, I have consulted God. God says the ark has to be carried by the high priest. Okay? So now we all carry the ark or the presence of God, the fullness of God within us. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 to 19 says, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, depth, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled in the fullness of Christ. Now, this promise of God changed the whole economy, changed the whole world economy, changed the whole world potential, changed the whole world technology. Because of the fullness of Christ in you, you have the wisdom of God to do your business. You have the wisdom of God to invent. You have the wisdom of God to develop medicine. You have the wisdom of God to teach your children. It changed the whole world, generation after generation, because of the fullness of Christ in us. So this is not about religion, it's about changing the whole world. New invention, new methods of doing businesses, new method of teaching. It changed the whole world because of the fullness of Christ within us. And that give us the confidence of how much I should pray. How much I should ask God for. It changed. I tell you where the changes are. Before the cross, before Jesus Christ was died on the cross, Abraham, God says, told to Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to give a promised land. But then you stand at Point Cook, you look at Werribee, and if you can see Deer Park, and if you can see Altona, those lands are yours. But you walk, you go and walk. How long, do you know how long it has to take to walk? I can't, no, they don't have car, no. All they have is donkeys, right? He said, you look and you walk, he told Abraham, before the cross. When Moses came in, they asked for the law, God gave them the law, but God said, you do all the commandments. If you can do all the commandments, these are the promises for you. You have to perform. That's before Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. That's when the blood of the animal was on the mercy seat, not the blood of the Lamb of God. The moment the blood of the Lamb of God on the mercy seat, the whole world changed. The whole economy changed. The whole politics changed. The whole philosophy changed. The whole lifestyle changed. After the cross, when Jesus was crucified, right? John says, after the cross, John 14, 14 says, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. You just ask, you don't have to walk. You just sit in your air-conditioned room with your big breakfast and just ask God, you know, I want more sausages. I want curry, mutton with roti. You just ask, he said, you just ask in his name. See the grace of God. See the blood of the Lamb of God on the mercy seat that makes the difference in your life. Now you dare to ask, if you are not intelligent enough, you dare to ask for invention. If you have only, you see, like Abraham will be like people like Abraham, right? He has to look and walk. Oh, I check my saving account. Okay, only $5,000, can I buy a house? Go and go to Altona and look. In a $5,000 house now. You look and you walk, but you don't get anything. But in the New Testament, I don't have to check my bank account because God is my provider. Because miracles can happen that I can buy a house. Miracles can happen that my son can go to the best university. Yeah. Miracles can happen that the food I couldn't buy, then I can buy. Because of the fullness of Christ within us. And he said, you ask, not you look and walk, not because you have to perform. It's because you have to ask Christ, because the fullness of Christ is already within you. No judgment, no condemnation. The poor now can say, I'm rich. The homeless can say, I got a chance now. I pray to this God. One day I will have a home. Yeah. Right? One day I will have a home. I don't have to work for, I don't have to wait for the third generation. One day I will have a home. The homeless can say, I will have a home. Ask. Matthew 21, which I preached last time, all the things, whatever you ask in prayer, whatever you ask, whatever you ask, what is whatever? What is whatever? According to your desire. Right? Don't limit your ability by your walking or by your looking. You ask and dare to believe, and God will give. Is it time now? 10 minutes. Okay, 10 minutes before curry comes, right? Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Truly, he did not spare his own son, but deliver him for us all. That how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, the fullness of Christ wants to give you the fullness of things. He wants to give you all things. We have to change our prayer. If you today you still pray and say, God, oh, I want to buy a house, but I'm not sure. My bank account is only 5,000. You are still in the Abraham mentality. If you say, God, I want to buy a house, but I'm not so good, you know, I can't perform well. I'm not sure I please you. You are still in the Old Testament. The New Testament is not about how good you are, how capable you are, about how much you believe in Christ. Because miracles can happen. I've seen it in my own life. Miracles can happen. It's not because you can earn more. It's because God can give more. You understand? Right? So after the cross, your prayer has to change. By all means, tonight, think about it. If you still think of, I have to check this, I have to look at this, I have to look at it. Stop that prayer and say, God, I dare to ask now. Because the mercy seat, the Lamb of God is on the mercy seat. Now it becomes the throne of grace, not the crown of judgment on me anymore. No one can judge my ability. The bankers will judge your ability. Right? The bankers, you go to the bank, you look at, oh, Victor Siong, you're $32.40. How to buy a house? Right? But it's not about $32.40. Because when you ask for provision, God gives you a provider. Can you see the difference? See this. The prodigal son. Luke 15:34. He asked, all that he asked for, he said, my father's house. Remember he left the house and then he could have nothing to eat, not even instant noodle. Right? And he said, how nice if I go to my father's house, I got curry to eat, you know. I got instant noodle. He asked for food. He went back because of the food, not because of the house. But when he reached home, what did he get? He get the whole house. He get all the provisions. You ask for instant noodle, 3 packets, and then he gave you the whole heavenly store. That is the grace of God. The Father did not judge him. Because on the mercy seat, there is no animal blood anymore. It's the blood of the Son of God. The cherubims look at the Son of God, look at the blood. He said, I will pass by this blood. I will pass by. I will not kill them because of my mercy now. Remember the cherubim? Looking down on the mercy seat, the Lamb of God, the Father, look at the Lamb of God, the blood of the Lamb of God on the mercy seat. He remembers that he has to give you whatever you ask for. Change our prayer, change our mentality, and to dare to believe in the grace of God. Okay? Remember the criminal on the cross? He asked for forgiveness, he got heaven. Hello? What a deal. You ask for forgiveness, you get heaven. If you get fined in the traffic, get a fine on traffic, you ask for deduction, then you may get another fine. Yeah. In Singapore, there's this chief justice who said that if you appeal, right, and your case is not for appeal, and you appeal, he slams you with more strokes, more fine. You want to appeal, you have to be very confident. But we don't have to appeal. We are accepted right from the beginning by the Son of God. Right? So the criminal on his right asked for forgiveness. He got heaven. The blind man who said, I want to see, but he got, what did he get? Not only his eyesight came back, he got the revelation and the wisdom of Jesus Christ. He got Christ himself. See the grace of God? See the way he multiplied your blessing? Ask for food, he give you the provider. Ask for sight, he give you the Son of God, revelation of the Son of God and your Lord. Ask for forgiveness, you get heaven. I think I finished now. Yeah. It's all good, huh? Am I in time? Good. Let us dare to believe that come to the throne of grace with confidence. Bible says, come to the throne of grace. And worship team, you can come up. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 17 to 16. And since then, we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. And for we do not have a high priest who do not touch with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted just as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. God understands our feelings. Don't think that God do not know how you feel. Every prayer has been heard by God. It's whether you want to believe it or you don't want to believe it. Okay? All right, let's spend this time, let's commit this time and pray and just between you and God. Some of you have been thinking that you have to look and walk. Some of you have been thinking that you have to perform. But today the Lord said the grace of God is sufficient. The grace of God is sufficient. Some of you thinking that, you know, I'm not sure God doesn't heal me because I've not been fasting, I've not been reading Bible. No, it's not about your performance. God wants you to know Him through His knowledge. Of course, reading Bible is important. Of course, coming to church is important. But that is not His criteria. His criteria has no condition. So dare to believe and change your prayer today. Father, we come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We say, God, we have heard and many times we misunderstood and perhaps underestimated the grace of God, the love of God. We underestimated the power of the blood of the Lamb of God on the mercy seat. Father, we say, God, today you give us revelation. Enlarge our heart today to believe that whatever we ask in prayer, we say, God, we dare to believe we will receive everyone. Everyone. If you have been praying for your children to come back to the kingdom of God, this is the time. Change your prayer. Because God is for us. God is not against us. God doesn't drive your children away. God wants to bring your children to the kingdom to be blessed. You'll be thinking that, Lord, that your children has not changed their character. No, God is for us. God is not against us. You've been thinking that your spouse needs to change. No, God is for us. God is not against us. You're thinking that, Lord, that I work so hard, I perhaps have two jobs and still can't afford to buy a house. No, today change your thinking. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Repent means change your thinking. Change your thinking. You have a God who is for you. You have a God who is big enough for your finance. We have God that you ask for a house, He give you a provider. You have God whom you ask for a meal, He give you a provider. You have God who ask for forgiveness, He give you heaven. So dare to believe in the grace of God. In Jesus' name we pray.